naughty boys and girls. It is I, Disasterina! Welcome to the Tasty Earbits podcast. Here, it's all about the art, the drag, the trash, and the comedy. For this podcast episode, we are going to war! No, we're not lobbing bombs into Syria like our pedo president. We are marching our Artvart army out to fight in the beauty war. We will be bursting through the ramparts of bad art to annihilate mediocrity once and for all. And to lead the charge is the king of Cakeland, Scott Hovey. Then we hurl high-concept Dragula Queen Abora into the fray. And reinforcing the rear is multimedia artist and fitness superhero Hyperbody. Plus, triggering trash poetry from Wesley Dolores.
I'm the cake guy. That's what they say. I'm the cake guy, man. I make cakes. Fake cakes. Artwork that looks like cakes.
How dare you make delicious, beautiful, delectable-looking cake that you cannot eat?
Because I like to torture you.
No, I just, I like making pretty things, man. Pretty things that are also scary, and I also like to torture people, so...
We're here right now at a place called Cakeland, which is like a mini museum in Chinatown in Los Angeles. How would you describe this? It's like a mini museum, mirror maze of sculptural cake, something like that. How would you describe it?
I would call it a experiential place where light and dark are integrating, reintegrating.
So what is this thing about the beauty war? Are you talking about my face?
Your face is post-beauty war, but it has its charms. The beauty war refers to a lot of things. First of all, it's me taking action using beauty to fight for things that I think are important. And also, it's me going to war against other experiential or immersive art exhibits that really are awful, and I'd like to beat them up. And then there's a larger picture of the beauty war where I just see these natural forces of light and dark fighting and integrating with themselves at nature all the time. That was the original impetus for this thing.
So that's sort of like the yin and yang of beauty, but also you see it's like the beauty war is sort of an attack on all the bad art out there. I really like that idea.
Somebody has to take action, man. Right now, people should not be doing wimpy art. Seriously, after all the crap that we've been going through, who needs weak art? All that art that people were taking in and supporting prior to COVID was just really kind of escapist garbage. So we got deluxe experience.
Triple-decker experience.
Triple-decker.
Quadruple. Some of the cakes in here are quintuple-decker cakes.
Mm-hmm. I keep stacking them higher and higher and higher, and so far they haven't fallen down yet.
So a lot of your place here is this really lush installation, which every centimeter is decorated with this stuff that looks like icing, but it's not icing. It's some sort of acrylic or something. And there are other little sort of a micro installations within it. And a lot of them incorporate sexy shoes with like, you know, taxidermy teeth, and they look all ferocious. What's the idea behind those pieces?
The shoe pieces? Oh, I've always collected items that, inanimate objects that possess a fierceness, beauty, or terror, or so, you know, I've been collecting taxidermy jaws, you know, fake fangs, fake food, but like nice stripper shoes are beautiful and menacing at the same time, even if there's nobody in them. And then if somebody is in them, then it creates a whole new persona. It's fascinating.
Hint, hint. I wear a women's size 11 and a half.
That's very impressive.
Not for a man. So this is a beautiful micro museum in the heart of Chinatown. And what are your plans now? Are you going to do a bigger one? Or is this going to be evolving into other things? Or are you going to franchise? What are you going to do? What's your next plan?
Well, my next plan is to actually officially open. You know, we've been working on a quarter capacity, no advertisements. We get traffic strictly by word of mouth or people just walking by. I want to have my opening. I deserve to have an opening, especially after spending years trying to get this project going, actually managing to get the funds, building it out, and then getting shut down hours before my grand opening VIP media event. I got shut down hours before my opening. And then I had to go into hibernation, and I would come down here by myself, you know, in my little snail shell, working silently in the early stages of the pandemic. And then finally we opened just, you know, quietly in July, but I want to have an opening event. I want to have a party. So that's my next objective. And then to make sure, you know, see that the business is stable and financially viable. And then at that point, we're going to expand the empire ruthlessly.
So you talked a little bit about how difficult it was to get this thing going, but things seem to be working real well right now. How is it going with attendance and all that stuff? How are you able to stay open?
Well, like you were saying, it's hard to get things going. Like the first person to cut a path through the jungle, they have to do all the hacking, they have to do all the pushing, they have to do all the figuring out of all the angles and the trajectory. Like, they have to do all the stuff that nobody behind them has to deal with. And that's what it's been like. So we did this. There were so many reasons why it could have gone wrong. There were so many obstacles, just cosmic obstacles, like meteors that would come down and just like smash things, you know, just like trying to keep you from doing it. But we persevered. We got it done. And it, now that it happened, it's been great. And it's magic. And people are coming in and it's supporting itself. We're paying the bills. It is supporting itself. That's the first time I've ever been able to say that when it relates to my art, you know, 52 years old and like, not being able to support myself by doing what I love. I mean, finally I'm doing it after all this time. And I'm really proud of that. I forgot the second part of your question.
So did I. I'm a bit of an airhead. It's early for me. It's like, what, 11:35? Oof. I just woke up. But I'm just amazed and happy and pleased that you're open right now during the heat of the pandemic stuff. And I understand people come in here all the time. You've told me this. They are so thankful that you are the only one that seems to be open. How did you arrange that? Or is that secret info?
I just quietly did it. I've kept it at a very small fraction of our full capacity. We go out of our way to create a safe feeling environment for anybody who comes in, you know. All the safety stuff, all the protocols. We make people wear gloves, you know, the masks, the social distancing, making sure that everybody has a huge amount of space around them so there's no bottlenecks or anything weird going on. That's my excuse. That's it, and I'm sticking to it.
What is the Slayer?
Oh, the Slayer. Everybody loves the Slayer. The Slayer is a lion ride that I purchased from the factory. It's like a horsey ride, but it's a lion. And when I got it, it was this very docile, cute-looking lion. And then I went to work modifying it. I resculpted the face using a epoxy resins, epoxy sculpting clays, taxidermy jaws, which I blinged out with Swarovski crystals. I gave it this flake blue, deep cobalt blue automotive paint. I gave it a whole studded spiky leather outfit. And the saddle is covered with spikes. So if you sit on it, it's quite torturous, but it's very, very beautiful. And it's covered with the shiny stones. And it's like a lot of my art at once beautiful and very menacing. And everybody wants to ride the Slayer. I have to tell them to get off my Slayer.
What do you do? What do you say to people who stupidly try to get on this spiky monstrosity?
Well, first of all, there's a museum. You're not supposed to touch the art. Why do people touch art? You know, you tell them at the door, don't touch the art. You put on gloves. Don't touch the art. Yeah, a couple of weeks ago, I look over, and there's like an 8-year-old boy fully straddling the spiky saddle. All the spikes right up his little 8-year-old butt. And his dad's standing there taking pictures, you know, like, oh, wow, yeah, he's on the horsey ride. I'm like, bro, not only are you hurting yourself, it's not allowed. Please get down. The child was horrified when he realized he wasn't supposed to be up there. So a lot of people are, you know, innocently, you know, taking liberties that they would take anywhere else when they see a horsey ride. But yeah, man, the Slayer, I will slay you if you try and do that without permission.
Was that kid in the BDSM Boy Scouts or something?
Aspiring, I presume.
So it's a beautiful place. People walk around here and they are enlivened and they have fun and they're delighted. Is that what you're trying to achieve here? Or what exactly do you want people to get out of this exhibition?
Well, I've got my formula, my secret recipe for proportions of, joy and crying. So the most important thing is to send people home having had a beauty experience, a joy experience. You know, I want to impress the little old ladies and the little kids as much as the serious art consumers. So I want people to go home without having to necessarily dig into the deeper meanings. But then I want to provide something that really feeds people who are serious about their art.
It's beautiful. It looks like icing. How do you make this thing?
The hard way. No, actually, I go online and I order wall frosting from wallfrosting.com. And I just order it and I come back and there it is. No, I'm just kidding. No, man, everything is done the hardest way. Like, I come up with these concepts. I don't know how I'm going to do them. I draw it on the ground where it's going to go. I get the assistance of construction people who I trust, who understand what the hell I'm trying to do. You build the walls. And then I get up on a ladder and I pipe everything, all the decoration, all that stuff. It's done through a piping bag. Yeah. And everything, and then painted on top of, and, yeah, but it's a collaborative effort. I mean, there's certain things, like the draperies, for example, I hired a master draper, Leo Ramos, to handle his part. And, everything requires a talented crew. I can't do everything by myself. But the decoration, I mean, I can't trust anybody else to do it. Or I can't even show anybody to do it because it takes forever to teach somebody how to do that.
What is a piping bag? Are we talking about BDSM again?
The piping bag? No, that's your imagination running away with you. But it's a piping bag is like a typical bag that you would put frosting in to decorate a cake. I do it all using the traditional techniques, minus the cream and whatnot. Yeah, I use water-based acrylic medium.
So you mentioned some of the people who helped out along the way, who helped this thing become realized. One of these people, Sean Forrester, as a little actor in a show called Sato Psychiatrist. Everybody out there should go see it. It's on Apple TV. It's on Fruit TV in the UK. And it's also on Amazon Prime. What was it like working with Sean Forrester? What did he do?
You wouldn't believe what he did. I'm still digging up secret messages of him having sex with Ben Affleck behind the walls and things like that. But no, it was a pleasure working with Sean. In the beginning, he did all the dirty work. He took the sprayer and sprayed the ceiling black when this place was a construction zone. He didn't wear a mask. His teeth turned black. He's hardcore. And then after we worked together for a little while, it emerged that he's very talented with a lot of other things. Lighting, sound, composition. He has a real sensitivity towards environmental things, you know, video stuff. So, he ended up being a collaborator with a lot of the lighting and a lot of the concepts to bring it to life.
Well, this is all very interesting. I hope people out there get a little, tiny little kernel, a little nibble, a little lick of the taste of Cakeland. It's one of those indescribable places. And to see what we're talking about, you go to cakeland.la on the web. And that's also how you can get a ticket. Or you go to cakeland.la on Instagram. And you can see lots of beautiful pictures and everything of this wonderful place. Is there anything that you would like to say to your fans? And there are many, many fans now, because for one reason, there was a couple TikTok posts that went viral, and there's like millions of people, literally millions of people looking at Cakeland right now. What would you like to say to all your fans?
Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. This would have been a failure if it were not for the fans talking about it and coming here supporting it. That is the most meaningful thing that, as an artist, that I could possibly get, are these people showing up, throwing money at me so they can see my exhibition. It is totally humbling and inspiring and uplifting. And I guarantee it's going to be worth your while if you come back down and check it out. Come on down to Cakeland.
Is there any other information anybody out there needs to know about Cakeland?
We are in Chinatown, downtown LA. We're in a walkable plaza. There's restaurants and cheap parking everywhere. It's right next to the 110. It's incredibly convenient. It's incredibly worth your while. So come on down to Cakeland. Get your cake.
Thank you so much, Scott. I am salivating. I'm usually salivating because of a problem. I need to get an operation. But I'm especially salivating about Cakeland. So thank you very much.
You're welcome. Here's a napkin. And you're welcome here anytime.
Welcome to the Cakeland presentation of Cake Raffinia featuring Disasterina and Ave Rose. Please maintain a distance of at least 6 feet between all parties. Make sure your mask is covering your nose and mouth at all times. Enjoy the show.
What a shitty world! Police brutality, raging pandemic, everybody out of work. I wish there was something to temporarily make me feel a tiny bit better. Wait! What about some sugar? Yes, I could really use some sweets! Something delectable and delicious! Now, where is the best place to go to get some cake? And also get a little sun and do some body surfing. I know!
Oh no!
See you licking frosting from your own hands. Want another slice? I'm begging, yes ma'am. I'm tired of all this candy on the dry land. Dry land. For masterpiece, take time for a masterpiece. You should be in with me, you should be in with me. You're a slice of fantasy, you're a real slice of fantasy.
But you move so carefully, let's start living dangerously.
Talk to me, baby. I'm going blind from this sweet craving. Whoa, let's lose our minds and go fucking crazy.
All right, Abora.
Yeah, lay it.
Let's get down to the brass tacks. What will your legacy be as the first ever winner of the Drag Queen Pageant Competition of the Year Pageant Show?
My reign as the Drag Queen of the Year Pageant Competition Award Contest Competition winner, very first winner, will be that of a reign of blood and tyranny and unfairness and bad. And it's so good that it's only been 2 years.
Because of this whole COVID thing, it's more than a year. So you were not the Drag Queen of the Year winner. You were the Drag Queen of the Year's winner.
That's right. I'm responsible for COVID because I wanted just another year to sit at home and polish my crown.
It must have been a super fun experience. I'm sorry I was not able to go, but it must have been really interesting being up there on stage with all your peers and, you know, having this big famous host, Alaska. Were your knees knocking? Were you afraid when you were doing this whole thing?
Oh, absolutely. As somebody who is going into this thing with absolutely no plan, of course I was a little nervous. But remembering who I am, I was not nervous at all once I got on the stage, because the spotlights are blinding and you feel like you are an animal in a cage. And what do animals do when they're in a cage? They bare their fangs and they, you know, wave to the people. And the people reciprocate and throw peanuts at the animals.
No, that is revealing though, because you said a couple interesting things. One is that you didn't prepare, basically. So are you more comfy having like a brinkmanship about the whole thing, just like taking it right to the edge, and you figure you're going to get the eureka moment on the spot? Is that a better, funner mindset for you? And I hate that word mindset, by the way.
Yeah. I feel like it was serendipitous because it ended up being kind of along the lines of how Alaska approaches things. Like the pageant itself was kind of an improvised thing. I feel like how Alaska approaches these things is she has an idea of what she wants, and she doesn't really let things like logistics get in the way, or time limits, or factors of nature stop her from having a good time. As long as everyone's having a good time, I think it all works out. And that's sort of the mentality, that the mindset that I adapted for the pageant.
And you had fun when you were doing the pageant.
Yeah, yeah.
And part of that fun is just like being right in the moment, just being thrown into the pool, hoping you're going to swim.
Yeah, just being in the moment was an important thing. It's an important thing in improv. It's an important thing in stage. And it's one of the best pieces of advice that I got from Bitch Pudding. You remember her, right?
Yeah, the one who doesn't prepare at all for anything ever.
Yeah.
And just lugs out.
Yeah. So I figured if she can win a stupid little competition, then I could win a stupid little competition too.
Okay, so the wheels are flying off this interview limousine here a little bit. Let me reel it back in, okay? Let's talk again about a little bit about this pageant competition thing, okay?
So as you all know, Alaska Thunderfucks, Drag Queen of the Year, Pageant Competition Award Contest Competition, asterisk, drag performers also. Drag queen is a misnomer. Just looks prettier on a page. I don't know. We've got a lot of talented performers. I'm in love with each and every one of them. It's really lucky for us that no matter who wins, we as the audience are the winner.
Is it the most inclusive and representative drag pageant ever?
Why, yes, it is. You have all walks of life, all types of entertainers. And it's hosted by the most inclusive drag queen there is, which is Alaska Thunderfuck 5000.
You know, this cast, Maureen San Diego, Chiquita, which I can't say properly, I'm sorry, Lucy Stuhl, Tito Soto, who I just interviewed, Cassandra Complex, Tenderoni, Dixie Sherwood, and Jake Duprat. That is an interesting lineup, huh?
They're all great. I know I sound really generic saying that, but each of them have their strengths. Maureen's hilarious. Lucy Stuhl has the biggest heart in Chicago. Jake Dupree is immensely talented. Chiquititas is a bad bitch, and I wouldn't want to fuck with her. And Tenderoni, of course, the talent speaks for itself. I mean, it's about time that he got the recognition.
What about Tito Soto?
Tito's okay. Yeah, I was actually coaching Tito. He texted me and he was like, I'm really nervous about the question and answer bit. And I'm like, you come to me? You saw what I fucking did, right? I am self-immolated and jumped into the judge's booth. you want my advice? I told him to just, you know, right before you go out on stage, quote unquote, air quotes, just shake yourself off and just be in the moment. Whatever you were planning to say, forget it.
Mm-hmm.
Just make it about Nazis and then reel it back in. Just win them back. You gotta win them back really quick.
Start with the shock and then you go back until everybody loves you.
Yeah, you gotta, because everybody's like yawning, they're looking at their phones and everything. You gotta get the buzzword in, pique their interest. And then right as you're about to fall off the cliff, you do a pirouette and you come back. You bring them all back with you. You gotta win them. You gotta think on your toes.
Well, here's one more question for you about this whole talent competition award show. Okay, the presentation will be a mix of pre-recorded segments and live broadcasts from Loyal Studios and remote locations from the contestants' homes. Do you think they were influenced by that wonderful show the Boulay brothers did, Resurrection? You've seen it. Tell me you've seen it.
Well, a good idea elicits the convention. You know, Alaska's not above stealing somebody's good idea. I think there may be an osmosis happening here. I can't say because I was not consulted on anything, be it Boule or Alaska. Even though in this Venn diagram, I am the perfect almond shape of these two powerful circles. So short answer is no.
You know, Alaska has said that your reign as drag queen of the year has, quote, gone on far too long and has brought the world nothing but plague, unrest, and misery. So you basically agree to that, I guess.
I gave her the copy for that. I wrote that for her. I'm just thrilled that she ran with my idea.
Well, that's high flattery there, for sure.
See, that's why I love her. She's very yes and. If you give her like a far out idea, she'll run with it. I understand why she didn't go along with the guillotine idea that I proposed, but my original step down performance idea was I was going to walk onto stage, hand over the crown, hand over the sash, shake the winner's hand, and then walk off stage. And then all you hear is a loud bang, and there's like a flash and a splat on the curtain.
She didn't go for that?
Something about animal cruelty, because I'm like a bird or something. I don't know.
Are you going to reprise the chicken thing, that disastrous chicken thing that you did from Dragula?
She loved it. I loved it. I stand by that decision. Not all of us can do a 30-minute diatribe and pull off a look straight from a pulp comics UFO character. Disasterina.
Oh, my ears are burning. I was wondering when you were going to get to me. And you know, it really was 30 minutes long, wasn't it? We're talking about the alien episode on Dragula, and I decided to do a stand-up comic routine, which I've never done before. So it might have been in half an hour long. I don't even remember, but people were like walking away. They were like looking at their watches. It was a...
No.
And then on the show, only 10 seconds of it got on there. It's pretty amazing.
You're being too modest. It worked because it was long. We were howling backstage. As mad as we were that you took that long, it was worth every second of the buildup, the stammering, the observing you come up with this on, like, out of the thin of the air. It was all worth it.
Well, we had fun on Dragula. I gotta say that. You know, people always ask me when I'm out there, you know, in conventions, whatever. It's like, oh, Disasterina, I love you, love you, love you so much. What was it like on Dragula? And I was like, oh, my God, it was the most fun thing ever. Every second of it for me as a performer, as an artist and everything, it was totally invigorating. And I felt really lucky to be there. And it was super fun, even, you know, when bad things were happening or tense things were happening. It was super, super duper awesome. I know everybody has a different experience on the show, but I had a great time. Well, what about you? What was the thing you took away from the show?
Well, I took away from the show what the show took away from me, which was my happiness. I don't know. It was tough. It was a tough time. I was breaking up with somebody that I had been in a relationship with for a year that, you know, I was moving into uncertain territory, being a single person. Just getting out of a codependent relationship, and between not having any money for food and losing my apartments and not being housing stable for a second, really taught me that I don't need a lot to survive. Mm-hmm. All you really need, and this is going to sound really gay, all you need is your friends. I can't believe those words just escape my mouth. That's...
Well, you know, I agree.
Hallmark Cardi bullshit. I would, if 2 years ago me heard me say that, I'd call bullshit on myself. But it's true. If you don't have your friends by your side, you're not going to make it.
It's true.
I wouldn't have landed on my feet at Felony's place and lived with Bitch Puddin' Meatball, and then I wouldn't have moved in with Bitch to Koreatown, where I now live, and then I wouldn't have kicked her out of my house and now living freely. So I guess the moral of the story is you need your friends to a point, and then once you have stabilized yourself, then you can kick them to the curb.
Talking about kicking people to the curb, it's been a tough year for everybody. So many ups and downs, so many kicking to the curbs of people and situations and stuff like that. How have you fared over this whole stupid pandemic thing? A lot of people out there look to you and follow you and see that you have your ups and downs just like everybody else. But how have you fared?
It's been tough, but one comforting thing is that prior to the quarantines and everything, I was feeling kind of isolated and shut off and lonely. And I had the anxiety of doom about me because, you know, I stopped touring as much. People stopped asking me to be places, and I was getting worried about where my next meal was going to come from. And I, you know, stopped going out and seeing people. So my world became very small and isolated. And then the quarantine happened, and then everybody else got on my page. So I started to feel great because I realized that it wasn't that I was under, I was an extraordinary mental case. I'm just a normal person who is dealing with isolation and all these horrible things. So I was glad. I was glad you all finally have to deal with what I have to deal with.
Go follow Abora on the Instagram at Abora_sucks. ABHORA_SUCKS. Twit. See the Drag Queen of the Year pageant competition hosted by Alaska and Lola Lacroix Sunday, March 7 on sessionslive.com. And now, starring performance artist and multimedia maverick oddball, Wesley Dolores.
This is a poem. And you feel the coffin closing as the opera lady sings. But in the dead of winter, a rose will surely spring. A rose will surely spring. Because love will find its way to you. And if you don't believe that this is true, fuck.
Shut the fuck up! I'm fucking working! And you keep crying like a fucking loser! Fuck you! You shut the fuck up! You fuck! I don't want to fucking hear you cry ever! Ever! If I fucking hear you cry one more fucking time, I will cut your fucking tongue down the middle.
No, no, no,
no! Get the fuck off! I'm working! You fuck!
Just know the doves, they sing your name, and it would be just such a shame to be leaving as your true love enters the room.
Follow Wesley Dolores on Instagram at Wesley Dolores, WESLEYDOLORIS. And now a word from our sponsors.
From Out TV,
do you need release?
Scratch. Buckle up, baby girl. The fun's about to begin.
Yeah! This here is Crazy Town, and you're the mayor of it.
Why does the party always end up in the kitchen?
I'm here to probe your black hole.
Eat your heart out, bitch.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Let's get some fun.
I had my heart set on a pizza, though.
Fresh as fuck.
Brace yourself.
What is this thing?
It's a body up in here.
Don't be sorry. Be better.
I'm still the baddest demon around.
I'm a sexy yin-yang, motherfucker.
Feels like the real thing.
Then waking me the fuck out.
Let's fry this bitch.
Let the fisting begin!
Sato, psychiatrist!
Now on Amazon Prime Video, only $2 each high def episode. And also available on the Out TV Apple TV channel. Starring Bitch Puddin, Sean Forrester, Foxy Ajway, Ave Rose, Clit Eatswood, and Disasterina as Dr. Sato.
Hi, this is Barney Scrotum for the Big Shablango. Tired of reading articles about Gnosticism? Fed up with having a drag queen's hand all the way up your ass? Bummed out by hairless cats? Need a new mustache hot glued to your face? Well then try the Big Shablango.
The Big Shablango.
Yeah, I know. Why would you trust a sleazy hand puppet? I've already got a cease and desist order against me. Because I got something you don't.
The Big Shablango.
The Big Shablango.
Hyperbody.
Hello, I'm Hyperbody. That is a great question. Well, Hyperbody is, I would say, cybernetic athletics. And me personally, as Hyperbody, I am here to help you unlock your superhuman potential.
You know, I'm glad you led right into that because I've got something I want to lay on you.
Okay.
I'm getting long in the tooth, okay? Everything is failing, it's cracking and falling and drying up. And before it goes all out the window, I want the perfect body that I have never in my life had. But I have no idea how to get it. What can you do to help me? How can I get that perfect hyper body?
Well, first, I gotta say your body is perfect, just the way it is. Everybody's body is perfect. Everybody has a hyper body. But I'm just here to help you, like I said, unlock your superhuman potential, get closer to being a cyborg, if you will. So I'm just here to help you get stronger because your body is perfect already.
Can I get perfecter?
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's a comedy podcast and everything, but this is serious. You know, I've wanted to get an optimum cyborg body. You know, it's always been in the back of my head. And like I said, I'm getting a little long in the tooth. And I'm like, how many more years am I going to have where I can have like a body like yours? Like the super perfect android. I don't know. You're just like a superhero of fitness over there.
Uh-huh.
I know I should exercise. I know I should eat right. but I just don't know anything about exercise. I don't know how to start. Do you have any insight on that?
Well, the most important thing is to find something that you like to do. So something that is fun. So for me, like I love dancing. That's why I love aerobics. So if you love to dance, you could come to, like, for example, my aerobics class, because you know it's something that you look forward to. So it's something that you're going to want to do all the time. Maybe there's something you just hate doing. Maybe you hate running. You're never going to go running if you hate it. So the trick is to find something that you really like, or maybe it sort of, you know, grows on you. Like, for example, the pump, lifting weights, that can be very addictive once you start feeling that good pump in those muscles. And then you just, there's no turning back. You just got to pump every day.
So if you want to start pumping, what do you do? Do you get a starter pumping kit, or you just get a membership in a gym?
I mean, since we're all kind of at home now anyway, get a couple sets of weights, some dumbbells, and maybe some kettlebells. So you have some lighter weights and some heavier weights. And then you can do some heavy lifts and some lighter lifts and make a set out of it. And you can do some upper bod, lower bod, mix in some core in there, and you're well on your way.
So you do lots of really interesting videos. Now, in your video set, is there going to be weightlifting exercises? And also, you do things called the rave. What is it called? The rave?
The fitness rave.
Fitness rave. That's what it's called.
Yeah, I offer a lot of classes, kind of like a one-stop hyper shop. I've got aerobics, which is the fitness rave, or I call it hyper aerobics. It's kind of like the traditional 80s style aerobics. Like, we got grapevines and step touches, but it's a little more in a rave environment. And I have a little more of high intensity intervals kind of sprinkled in there. So a little more hype than the traditional 80s aerobics. And then I've got upper body strength training, which I call sick pythons. So that's what you would use your starter kit of your weights for. And then I have cyborg abs, where we work on core and abs. What else do I have? Butt stuff.
What is butt stuff?
Butt stuff. That's everything below the belt. So we got butt, quads, hammies, all the goods.
What about glutes? You got glutes down there?
You got the glutes in there, of course. Butt stuff.
So you mentioned your videos. Your fitness videos are super duper fun. For people who don't know out there, this is like a whole fitness world. It's like a hyper body fitness world. You have these 1980s future retro backgrounds. Looks like a synthwave wet dream.
Yes. Oh, you went into my glory hole today, did you?
Oh. I feel all tingly now. My yumpa is getting tingly just talking to you, being in your glory hole.
Yes, it's a nice place to be.
Clearly. And you are like green screened, floating in this like 80s wonderful future of neon. You're just like pumping, pumping, pumping. And you look like a fluorescent road warrior. How did this evolve? Where did it come from?
Yeah, I know. There's so many elements to it. It's like... Yeah, you kind of summed it up pretty well, but it's sort of like genre bending, like retro future fitness. And it just comes from, I mean, before the birth of Hyperbody, I was doing all these things, multimedia art, performance, music, fashion. And I just kind of combined everything, you know, threw it all in the glory hole, and it became this fabulous place where you could work out.
Everybody out there, it is super fun. I got a code onto your site, and I went on there and I looked at a lot of the videos. I still haven't done the exercises, but I'm going to now. Now that I've talked to you, I absolutely have to, because they look super duper fun. So you said you were a multimedia artist. Did you go to school to learn that, or is just something that you were interested in?
First, I went to the Art Institute of Chicago. And I studied video, sound, and performance art. And then I went to London to the Goliath School. That was all physical theater, like Buffon, clown. And then I went to Paris, went to mime school.
Wow.
So I've done a lot of different things. And then I was really into fashion for a while, self-taught fashion design, and always loved to work out. And so many people told me, you know, you have to be a fitness instructor. And then finally, I just listened to everybody. They're like, you just got to be a hyper body. Just do it.
Clearly, I mean, it was all pointing that way. You mentioned Chicago Art Institute. I applied there when I was going to art schools because I grew up in the Chicago area.
Okay.
Yeah, did you grow up in the Chicago area?
I grew up in Vermont, out in the woods.
Oh, okay, out in the woods.
Feral fairy. A swole feral fairy child.
Okay. It sounds like a region in a fantasy world, like Narnia or something.
Exactly.
Well, what you've put together, I think, is really interesting. And you mentioned music as well. I went onto your Spotify and you have a bunch of songs that you've created on there. And they're really fun and really good for exercise and everything. And then there is another song that's not on there yet.
Yes. Are we going to put it on?
We got to get it on Spotify somehow. We got to figure out how to do that. We collaborated on a song. You know, I always admired you. I looked at your TikToks and your Instagram and I knew that you were friends with McDazzler. And I'm like, oh, she is so cool. I got to have her on my podcast somehow. So I thought, oh, it would be fun to do a sort of like a fitness opus song for 2021. And we did it and it fucking kicked ass.
It's so good. I love it. I've already used it in my class for a routine, aerobics routine, and for a warm up for the pump. And it's so good. I love it.
And thank you very much to Adam Smith, who is a producer. I did the main, you know, writing of the song. And then you did these great vocals on there and Adam sort of like all hyped it up. That's what Adam did.
Yes.
He's the hyper producer.
Yes. It sounds so good. Thank you, Adam. I just love it.
I'd love to do another, by the way. The next time we should collab on everything. We should collab on the music and lyrics and whatever that way. What do you think of that?
I would love to. I've always wanted to make a whole fitness album that maybe comes with a workout video. You know, you get the whole package.
So here's a fun little question. What was it like to be on The Gong Show?
Oh, that was amazing. Wow. It was so crazy. It was one of the most exciting stages I've ever been on. Just so big. And you come out, just lights and the whole crowd. I was like, whoa.
Was it a big studio audience?
It was huge. Yeah. I never really been in front of an audience like that. It was really fun to do that.
That seems super scary to me. It doesn't seem like you would be scared of anything, though.
Oh, I get scared of things, of course. But, you know, that kind of, it makes it more exciting, I think.
I didn't see the whole episode. I just looked on YouTube on your one thing. Did you win?
No, we lost. We actually lost. It was Courtney Cox was judging.
Courtney Cox.
She didn't like it at all.
Hate Courtney Cox. Even more now because of this.
She didn't like it.
Oh. So people out there, right? It's like the pandemic. Everybody's all cooped up in their houses, getting all depressed and flabby. How can you help them, superhero of fitness? What can they do?
Well, they can sign on to the Matrix. I'm in the Matrix almost every day. 6 days a week, you can sign in and I'm there. I've got two classes a day, all varieties. Like I told you, got the cardio, got the strength. And if they want, they can become superhuman just by taking all my classes.
I'm thinking that really is the key to being a superhero is just do these classes. Like you said, you feel like you're going to turn into a cyborg when you're exercising in this like neon world. But I have a more pressing question. Will I get juice in my caboose?
Oh, yeah, you will. Yeah, you'll probably bust through your underwear. You'll just have to either buy new underwear or just stop wearing underwear completely, or just wear your underwear over your pants like I do. But yes, you will get juicy in the caboose. A lot of people, we have grown our asses together. Our planets have become huge throughout quarantine. Yeah, very juicy up in this bitch.
Is it like a hive mind ass?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's like a behobwim ass.
any kind of ass you want. I can give it to you.
You don't do the classes with alive people anymore. It's all through the internet. Is that right?
Yep. It's all on the Matrix. And then I also have the recorded ones in the library that you went on to today. So I'm pretty much living in the Matrix now. I only exist as like a hyper hologram for now.
Do you use the low cyber voice when you do the live workouts?
Oh, I do sometimes. Yes. I've got a low one. I've got a high one. It really depends on what side of the bed I wake up on. You know, sometimes it's the real masculine side. Who knows?
You know, as an artist myself who likes to create worlds, that's one thing I have to say I really appreciate is when other people out there in any field create their own world. And I look to Hyperbody and I see a whole world. So kudos.
Thank you. And I have a lot of artists come to my classes, and I find, because most of my friends are artists, they don't like to work out. That was one of the main reasons why I started Hyperbody, was for people that don't like to work out. So just come into my world. I promise it's going to be a good time. It's just going to be a party.
Okay, I got one more stupid question.
Okay.
What is a swole?
Swole. That is abbreviation for swollen, when your muscles get swollen from the pump.
Oh, okay.
Right? So when you feel that blood pumping through right after you've lifted weights, you can feel your muscles. They're almost popping.
I've never felt that. So I guess I've got to.
I see it in your near future.
Explain a little bit about what is the zombie workout?
Oh, the zombie workout. Yes, that was a collab that I did with Lovecraft, the band. And we did that for Halloween for their latest album. So I basically created a whole workout, an aerobic workout to their half hour long album or their mix. And we made a video of it. So there's like a workout video. You can do the full workout on YouTube. And then we also did a live workout on Halloween. And it's pretty much just 80s aerobics, but I'm leading it as Hyper Zombie.
You really did look like a zombie. You did the whole routine as a zombie. Pretty impressive.
Yes, yes. It was so fun.
Where did you meet McDazzler?
Oh, McDazzler. She's like my best friend.
Oh, because that is how I found out about you, is through McDazzler.
Yes.
She highly recommended that I just check out your Instagram or the other things that you were doing. So I was really happy to do so.
I met her when I was living in Portland.
So for people out there who don't know, they're idiots, but McDazzler is a artist, performer, force of nature. And they appeared on our show, Sadopsychiatrist, as Galactica. Darkstar was the character that McDazzler, Alicia McDade, played on our show. And
yes.
So good. Well, is there anything that you want to say to your fans out there or to your admirers or future lovers, anything?
Well, I just hope that I see your ass in class, bitch.
How do they get to your class?
Okay, so if you follow me on Instagram, Hyperbody, you can go to the link in my bio, and then I've got all the links there in the link tree. You can go to on demand or live classes. It's all right there. Or you could go to hyperbodyfitness.com and it's all there. Or you can water slide into my DMs and send me a message.
What a perfect way to meet you. Water slide into your DM.
Yes. Slip and slide into my glory hole.
I'm going to have to put that on like a loop.
We should have a whole song that's about slip and slide into my glory hole.
Oh my God, that is the name of the song, at least, if not the album.
Let's do it. I like it.
Slide into my glory hole.
Can we make some real squishy sounds? Squirty,
yes.
Squishy, like, yeah, glory hole type shart sounds.
Or like a wet balloon sound, like.
Yes, yes, exactly. All of it. We need all that.
Well, Hyperbody, thank you so much for being on my funny little show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
These things are insane. I can't handle myself. Your things are insane. How do you handle yourself?
Hyperbody, the song by Hyperbody and Disasterina, now available on iTunes and on Spotify. Just go search Hyperbody, one word, and go get it. so much to all my contributors. I love you so much. Sassy grunting. Music for the podcast by Dr. Steve-O. Go to drsteveo.com. drsteveo.com. And by Chuck Serino. Go to chuckserino.com. chuckserino.com. If you want to help this podcast out, please, please, please do so. Go to patreon.com/coleslawsonfire, one word, and just drop a few greenbacks for us so we can keep on going. We can buy some, like, 3D-old soup or something. I'm going to leave you with another fancy song from Cake Ruffinia, the live performance Ave Rose and I did at Skatovy's Cakeland. Keep fighting the beauty war.
Your final trial is to sing the praises of cake.
But I just sang a song about cake. Cake on the ocean, Dumbo.
That doesn't count. I wasn't even here for that.
But everybody that owns my albums knows I can't sing.
Now you're just being lazy. I have confidence in you.
Well, that makes one of us.
I believe in you, Disasterina. Sing like an angel of cake.
Well, okay, I'll try my best.
Cake warrior?
Yes! Oh. I don't really like coconut icing. Well, maybe I can pick off the coconut shavings. Wait, fuck that. I'll just eat Cakeland.
Now you're talking. Here you go.
Yes! I'm going to eat Cakeland! Chomp, 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 chomp!
Please do not attempt to lick or eat any part of Cakeland. Only Disasterina can do that, and you are not Disasterina.